760 WJR with housing information you can trust. Now here's the inside guy, Chuck Bridenstine, and the outside guy, Ken Calverley.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the weekend and another edition of Housing Information You Can Trust right here on AM 760 WJR. How you doing, partner?
I'm doing good. Life is good, man. Nothing cool to complain about.
Life is good. And for all the cruisers out there right now driving down Woodard Avenue listening to us, give a honk.
Yeah, hopefully up on the 8th floor of the Fisher here, we'll hear your horn.
Yeah, no, right, I don't think so. No, not that far away.
No, I don't think so. You'd have to have one heck of a horn.
Were you listening to Steve, Jim, and Cam on the way in?
Absolutely, I was. Yep, they're a lot of fun.
They are a lot of fun, and you can just tell they're from, for me listening, they're from the generation, they're from your generation. I mean, they are your generation, the stuff they're talking about when it comes to cars and driving a Beetle.
Yeah, you don't like
cars. Did you ever have a VW Bug?
You know what's funny about that? A good friend of mine and now yours, Pat Bush, Pat came from a tough background, so they didn't even have a car, right?
Okay.
But they had
mean
friends.
Streets of Midland, is that it? Or
mean streets of Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant. Really did. Okay. He anyway, long story short, he had friends that would lend him a Volkswagen Beetle when he started dating.
Okay.
And I'll never forget, he calls me one morning. He said, "Charlie, I need your help." I go, "What? What?" He says, "You got any good glue or caulk?" I said, "What? What's going on?" They had pushed out the windshield on this Volkswagen.
How did they do that, Charlie?
I have no idea.
Oh, boy, that's funny. That is.
But it didn't break.
My first thought.
So he needed to put it in before he returned it.
My first thought when you said something about a BW, those weren't exactly the kind, a very comfortable car, you know, for two people. I mean, you'd want a Cadillac, so, you know, a big Cadillac.
I had an Eldorado.
Had a Galaxy 500. Those had big
seats.
You could
put a picnic table in this car, this that Eldorado. They were huge. But, Volkswagen Beetle is fun. My first car was a 67 Mustang 3-speed.
Oh, my goodness. Mine was a 1976 Plymouth Volare.
Volare.
They had holes in the floorboards in the back. Talk about rough background. That's funny.
$700, man. That was a heck of a deal.
Yeah. So today on the Inside Outside Guys, how are we going to connect the show with the Woodward Cruise besides taking people's phone calls? We're going to put a little garage trivia out there. Some real neat statistics about garages, attached garages, detached garages. And we'll also be taking your calls at 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. So, right now, your garage, how's it look?
Not bad, but not like I'd like it to.
I'd say I'm probably the other way. Not like I'd like it to, and bad.
I could park two vehicles in it.
Right now you could?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It's an oversized two-stall garage, and I can easily get two vehicles in it, but I got more stuff laying around that I feel good about, and I need to spend a day just tossing.
And I'm just going to throw it out there because I know it's going to come up sometime today. And we've mentioned it so many times. It's the old George Carlin skit about stuff.
Oh, gosh.
And it is so true. If no one's ever heard this skit, go on YouTube, check out the skit after the show here today. And it's just about stuff. And what happens? You build a bigger garage, and what do? You fill it full of stuff, and then you build a shed, and you fill it full of stuff. And it really is true, because now we're spending our later years trying to get rid of a lot of that stuff.
I mean, if you walk around and look, I was just thinking of my shed. And again, I mean, my snowblower's back there, the lawnmower's there, so there's stuff. But there's things that I don't use anymore. You know, I've got a really, really good, high-quality wet saw back there.
Yeah.
And I don't install tile anymore or cut brick, you know. I mean, it just sits there, but I can't move it. You know, it's kind of beyond me anymore.
Can you sell it?
I could.
Would you?
Yeah.
Things are so
easy. That takes effort.
No, it doesn't, buddy. It doesn't. Things are so easy to sell. I think about when I was back in my Green Roadhouse.
Yeah.
My barn that was full of stuff.
How big was that barn?
32 by 50 something.
Yeah, that was huge.
It was a huge barn. It was, you know, five kids worth of full of stuff. And when I left there, I gave so much stuff away that if they had Facebook Marketplace today, or back then, like they have it today, I could have sold so much more stuff back then.
Interesting.
I wasn't the kind of guy, I'm like you, putting it on something like Craigslist or eBay, no, that's not me. That takes more effort. But to put it on Facebook Marketplace, no matter what it is, it's a picture and it's a post. It's really that easy. And I just sold my truck that way a couple weeks ago. And I'm not the kind of guy that sells stuff. I'm really not. I'd rather not. Yeah. I don't like negotiating for that kind of stuff.
The same way.
But if you've got a garage full of stuff, you'd be surprised. The stuff you can get rid of for free that you don't want, that people will come and take. It really is amazing.
Interesting. I'll have to try that. Facebook Marketplace.
So do you have any garage envy? Have you ever had garage envy? You look at another man's garage and go, oh, I want that garage.
Buildings, for sure.
Building envy, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen it so much with garages, but I've certainly seen it without buildings where it's like, I want that.
You know what? You're right about that.
Build myself one. Yeah.
I've seen that as well.
But then I just fill it full of junk.
That's true. No, not at your age. Not at your age.
Oh, you're right, I wouldn't.
And we say that because when we're younger, we do, you know, fill our garage with so much junk. And now that I'm in my 50s, I honestly feel that since I sold my last home in 2015, this side of the marriage, me, have been trying to get rid of stuff over time. My wife, not so much.
You and I together.
But it says 52% of homeowners envy their neighbor's garage. 52% of homeowners.
I believe that.
Yep.
Hey, if you're looking for a quality heating, ventilating, air conditioning install, a lot of people are looking for new air conditioners in this beautiful summer we've had, and you need a good warranty with great product backed by good people, then Dana and Jim at CNC HVAC are your people, right?
Absolutely. Whether it's Eric behind the counter or you need some help from Dana, the daughter, or Jim, the dad, you can count on CNC Heating and Cooling.
WJR Traffic and Weather first. Find professional contractors you can trust at InsideOutsideGuys.com. Now, once again, here are Ken Calverley and Chuck Bridenstine.
Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. 888-654-4897. That's 888-654-GUYS. That's an easy moniker to remember, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And because today is Cruise Day, Woodward Cruise Day, the best thing we could do to connect the cruise with housing is to talk about where those cars are all stored. And the National Association of Professional Organizers found that 50% of homeowners named the garage as the most disorganized area in their house. Those wheels are spinning. I see you start thinking.
It's not in mine.
It's not in yours?
I've got a storage area under a large front porch. It's a nice size area. I built it with great intention, and it has been filled full of crap. For 22 years, and I can't. I'm going to go down there one of these days and just start tossing.
Your front porch has a space underneath it?
Oh, big, big space.
Well, you never told me that.
Big, dry, nice space.
It's not very common.
No.
Under a front porch.
Especially not anymore.
Not anymore, exactly.
That's a young house. But we built it, I built up high and drained well and yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
It's a great space, and I built it as kind of a safe room.
With a huge overhang. You got a porch roof on top of it as well, so that really helps.
Yeah, it's under a roof.
Yeah.
And space, if a tornado came, we couldn't all get in there. It's just ridiculous.
You'd be throwing stuff out as
a tornado. That makes my garage look clean, by comparison.
Actually, I've got a room like that in the basement as well. That's pretty organized. I got to say it. My shed's pretty organized for me.
My shed is.
My garage, not so much. Yeah. I need to get in there. Well, here's the thing. Every time I get my garage straightened out, one of my kids moves. or we still have stuff in there from when we sold the cottage up north, in there. And what we're going to wind up doing soon is just donating it because, We had a garage
Facebook Marketplace thing.
Touche. Touche, you're right. But a lot of the stuff we're going to donate because, you know, just we do. And I told you I don't like to sell stuff. Hey, any and all of your housing questions, 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897.
You know, big surprise, the National Association of Home Builders is telling us that new home starts are down from April, 20% nationally.
I know.
And
I'm surprised.
So when you hear that, do you immediately say, well, there aren't enough buildable lots? We certainly haven't overbuilt anywhere. There's nowhere where new houses are sitting unoccupied.
This is unusual. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. Go ahead.
The mortgage. I think mortgage rates scared our kids because they had never seen. 5% to our kids is like 12% to us,
right?
35, 40
right.
years ago.
Right, right.
So I'm thinking that's part of it.
It shouldn't be.
No.
I think you're right, but it shouldn't be.
No, that's cheap money by.
we can blame the government.
Seriously. Oh, absolutely.
They pick winners and losers, and this is the kind of stuff that frustrates me because if you look right now, if you would have bought a home 3 months ago when the interest rates were low compared to what you buy for now with interest rates, a $300,000 loan is going to be quite a bit more per month.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, I heard Dave Ramsey say this years ago. Poor people ask how much a month. Rich people ask how much.
Yeah.
Not that I'm poor or rich.
Yeah.
But
no.
That's what it comes down to. Because
sure.
No matter what the interest rate is, if you do the math and say, okay, I'm buying it for $300,000. If I pay the 30-year mortgage up, it's going to cost me $600,000. So you got to do that math and think what it is long term.
You know, I also, decades ago, remember reading that one of the things that made this country great was the fact that someone that was poor could build equity in
Amen.
A piece of real estate over 20, 30 years, say, you know, whatever that number is. And because of that, and it was interesting, and I'm going to, foreshorten this, but the gentleman's statement was to the effect that one of the reasons we'll never lose a war is because every citizen has more to lose in this country. He said if you go to Russia or North Korea or North or whatever, Vietnam, they don't own anything. They own the clothes on their back, and that's it.
That's a good point.
And it
that's
was interesting. It was one of those things you couldn't help but read and go, oh.
We have more to defend, in other words.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Tell you what concerns me, Chuck, and we know that we've talked, we don't know, okay, but you and I spoke about the supposed slowdown coming to the country compared to where it was 10, 12, 15 years ago with the housing crisis.
Yeah.
And what makes me nervous is we don't believe that there's going to be a housing crisis anytime soon.
Nope.
But so many people went into a house over the last couple of years knowing they paid too much negative equity when they moved into the house. And we hear about it. Someone will get $50,000 more than the asking price, and it only appraised for the asking price. So they literally will bring money to them to get that house. And that just makes me nervous that so many people overpaid for property, which tells me that everyone totally forgot about the housing crisis back in 2008.
It's a darned if you do.
You're agreeing with me, aren't you? You're having a hard time doing it.
I am having a hard time only because, you're right. I think you're 100% right. The darned if you do, darned if you don't aspect of that is somebody needs a house.
Yeah.
The only available one that, you know, that meets their needs, you know, maybe school system, proximity to job, proximity to medical care, whatever those, you know, criteria are, is sitting right there. And all you got to do is come up with an extra 40 grand, above asking.
And the banks aren't risking anything at that point. Unless the values go down. But the
right.
banks aren't risking anything at that point. So I don't blame them. They're not giving the loans out like they used to in the past, the drive-by appraisals and people that didn't really qualify. They're not doing that like they did in the past. So that's why we say it's not going to be a housing, it shouldn't be a housing crisis.
I don't think we will have any kind of housing crisis. I really don't.
I agree with you.
I think the government could create something. I don't think we will. I don't think it's going to happen. There's just too much demand out there. And like you said, the banks are not handing money to people that can't afford to pay it back. So that's the biggest thing.
Agreed. Yeah. 888-654 guys equals 888-654-4897. We get back. We'll talk to Amy from Ypsilanti and be taking your phone calls on any and all of your housing needs.
I like that. Hey, this week we wrote an article that is timely, especially with the weather starting to turn a little bit, regarding gutters, downspouts, gutter protection. And we referred a company in that article that Ken and I gladly refer for a tremendous gutter system and gutter protection system. And, of course, that company is Atlas Home Improvement.
You have housing questions? The Inside Outside guys on WJR have the answers. Here are Ken and Chuck.
25% of people with a two-car garage don't park in them at all. A third can only park one car, largely due to garage clutter.
That was you, right?
Yeah.
Are you parking any vehicles in yours?
You know what? I have never parked my cars in my garage.
Your wife, you neither? In the wintertime.
Well, that's part of it for me. I've never parked them in garage because I don't like my house looking like it's empty. I really don't, because when I park cars in the garage, there's no cars out in front, and it looks like we're empty.
You totally ignored the consideration for your bride in January.
Look, I take care of my bride in January through January, okay, all year long. I fill up her tank. If there's snow in her car, I brush it up. Don't you worry about my bride, pal, okay? She's doing just fine. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. We're going to talk to Amy in Ypsilanti. Good morning, Amy. You're on with the guys.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Our neighbors and I, we did share about a 20-year-old hawthorn tree, and it was right near the property line. They cut it down. Neither of us liked it. Cut it down. It's about a 12-inch stump right now. They cut it down about 2 years ago, but the thick roots, they continue to grow little hawthorn shoots that go across our lawn. How can we get rid of that problem?
Have you had the stump ground down?
No. What the neighbors did is they had several holes bored into the stump, but it sure wasn't ground down.
And, I mean, the only way, because those roots, if they're still getting water and they're still connected to the stump, they're still going to be growing those thorns.
Yeah.
So you've got to separate the root from the stump as best as possible. So, I mean, the stump grinders, I had a guy come to my house for $100 last year. They're inexpensive. And what you make sure you tell them, so it might cost you $50 more, is you want it ground down like 12 inches down underneath the grade all around it. And you kill those roots where it meets the stump, and those will stop growing.
Okay. All right. Is that something that we have to hire someone for, or is it something that, you know, we can go to, like, Deluxe Rental and get a, you know, a grinder? Or...
You know, for what a guy will come out and do it for, I wouldn't bother renting it. Like I said, $100, I called him. He came out to my place, and for $100... I wouldn't bother with renting one for that price.
I wouldn't either. And it is a dangerous machine to use if you're not familiar with the equipment.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I don't mean to be cocky, but I might do it or you might do it, but I wouldn't suggest just anybody do it. It's like using a wood chipper.
You're right. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Or, you know, you take an axe, a very sharp axe, you dig around those roots, and you just try to cut those roots where they meet the stump is far down as you go, but you have to separate those roots.
I found that with ash trees, and I would then spray the exposed cutting on the stump side with a poison, with an herbicide.
There you go.
Yeah. That should end your problem.
What kind of
herbicide did you use? I used Roundup.
Make sure you're Roundup. You can use a generic Roundup. Just make sure you're not downwind of it when you spray. If you don't get it on you, you have nothing to worry about.
No. Exactly, and it's effective.
Who would you recommend over this way to grind that down?
You know what? If you just Google in your area as far as a stump grinder, you can find one real close, I'm sure. Or if you want to send us an email, we can see who we have in your area.
Now, the neighbor said that they called somebody out, and they said that they were going to pour something down into that stump. What?
Probably an herbicide.
Yeah,
they'll drill holes.
Like the grinding down would just take care of it.
It does. Ken's right, 100%. You're done with it. It's gone.
I used to drill holes in my, at the property man now.
We've done all that.
I would drill the holes. I would put gasoline down there. I would put oil down there and let it sit for a few days. I'd wait for a dry day. I'd set it on fire. It'd smolder. But I'd still, it's just easier to get.
I still have a stump.
You're right. Just a charred stump now.
Yeah.
Okay, Amy, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye.
You're welcome. All right, bye-bye. All right, Dan in Farmington Hills, you're up, buddy. How's it going? Hello, Dan.
I added a room about the size of a double garage, so it's separate from my furnace and air conditioning. I have electric baseboard heating in that room, and I go to Florida in the winter. So my question is, can I just close the door to that room and walk away, or should I leave a window open, or can I operate a fan on an intermediate basis in the room while I'm in Florida?
Good question.
I'm worried
so there's
about
no
the
plumbing of any kind in there, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, if you bought a cheap box fan and left it on low, I know a lot of people who have cottages on lakes, and they'll winterize them for the water aspect of it with electric baseboard heat, and then they'll just circulate air with a small box fan. It doesn't take much, just the consistency is what's important.
And that's the important part, is circulating the air, right?
Yep.
The air moving, you're not going to get
the
mildew and mold
electric
smell.
Baseboard heating off.
Okay.
I mean, it's cold.
Yeah, if there's no plumbing in there and you can keep the air moving so there's no stagnation, the only risk you run is that if your frame freezes, you might get some drywall cracks that you had not gotten previously.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Now when I'm down in Florida, I won't be worrying about this room.
Good to hear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-654-GUYS. Let's stick to the phone and talk to Dean in Davison. Hey, Dean, how's it going? You're on with the guys.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking the call. I have a bay window issue. I have my front of my house is got a brick veneer, and what I was doing in a summer inspection of the bay window, and when they built the house in 98, to the interface between the shingles on the top of the bay window and the brick veneer, they just put a aluminum piece that's about 4 inches wide, nailed it to the brick, and then put some roofing tar on it, which has subsequently dried out and got cracked and will eventually start leaking. So I was doing my research, and it looks like the best way to seal between a bay window roof and brick veneer is called a riglet flashing. And when I started to contact contractors, it's such a small job, no one wants to touch it. And basically what I'm looking for is a mid-Michigan contractor that can either supply me with the riglet flashing, and I'll end up cutting the groove in the brick, and then you push it into the groove, and then you seal it and do it myself, or have someone do the whole job.
Good call. It's a good call. We can have some discussion on this. You say it's a small job. It's a small job, but if someone takes on this job for a small price, there is a lot of liability. So when they go in there, if they keep that in mind, it may be too expensive for somebody. Now, you can go to a lot of aluminum or siding stores. It used to be, what was the one? Siding World. And they would bend the aluminum for you. And
custom bend it.
Yeah, I'm sure you can still find places that will custom bend for the flashing. And I would think if you're confident, you could do it yourself.
Yeah, it's a matter of, what you're talking about is installing what we call a counter flashing. And we always installed that the way you're describing, where we literally would saw cut into the masonry tuck the metal flashing into a bead of high-end caulk or mortar or both, and then that flashing comes out and overlaps the flashing from the shingles, the individual shingle cards, if you will, flashing cards. But there's a lot of people out there that don't do that. They depend on tar and a tube of caulk.
I don't mean to laugh, but you're so right.
Yep. Yeah, well, and it sounds like that's kind of what he got originally installed there. What do you think? So long story short, you could do it. You could have someone custom cut that for you, custom bend it for you. And, of course, that is the proper way to do it.
I think I've got a guy. Let me check my contacts here real quick.
Yeah, but you might what I've noticed is a lot of the roofing companies in Genesee County don't even bother returning my call because they know it's a small job and they want to do a whole house roofing. And it's like, you know.
Of course they do.
You know, we haven't even gotten to cost issues. It's strictly a matter of, you know, desirability to do the work. And I'm sure labor is hard to get right now. So,
hey, Dean, you got a pen handy?
Yeah.
Yep. This gentleman just took care of my. I've known Bill from Noel. Remember Bill from Noel's Roofing?
Noel's
Roofing's not around anymore.
Yeah.
But Bill, when we get back from break, if you want to listen, I'm going to give you Bill. I'm going to put out Bill's cell phone number. When we get back from break. I'm sure he'd be willing to come over and take care of this for you. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. We'll talk about that when we get back from break. In the meantime, Chuck, we're getting a lot of emails for people just want to update their cabinetry in their kitchen, but not
to make the kitchen look brand new without a full tear out.
Exactly. There you go. Boy, you said that nice.
Thanks, buddy.
And we have a company for them. It's amazing what people can do with a good paint company. You know, I said years ago, I'll never paint again once I saw a professional paint like MacFarlane Painting. So if it's new cabinets, interior walls, exterior of your house, you want it painted right. You want to consider MacFarlane Painting.
Here for you today and every day. This is the Inside Outside Guys on WJR. Here are Chuck and Ken.
Phone lines are open, 888-654-4897. Hey, a little follow-up to Dean there from Davison. Best Materials, a company called Best, B-E-S-T, Materials, stocks various shapes and profiles of regular flashings, counter flashings. So you can call them at 800-474-7570. 474-7570.
Or you can call our friend from Knowles Roofing, Bill, 586-212-9115. Once again, 586-212-9115. And we're also taking your phone calls at 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. And you know, Chuck, flashing is, we would not recommend most people try flashing themselves, would we? It is really something that a professional.
A lot of people who call themselves professionals can't flash and counter flash. So, yeah, it's generally not a do-it-yourself project.
You know, I remember some of the first times I went up on roofs when I first got into the industry, and I would see the flashing that was on there, and it wasn't caulked. And I would think, something's wrong here. This has to be caulked. Right? You get what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
And it didn't need to be caulked. The way the flashings are done right, the only place it should be caulked is where they meet together and where they meet the brick. That's it.
Actually, the irony is, I mean, the old cathedrals and whatnot, that's where I kind of learned by studying what they did, how to do that, because obviously they didn't have any caulks.
Right.
You know, they discovered, you know, some tar and oakum products where they'd stuff, you know,
clays,
tar-saturated rope into joints. But in those old buildings where they properly flashed and counterflashed, you could crawl in the attic and you could look out and actually see daylight.
Absolutely.
And yet they never allowed water or anything in.
You know, you're right. I've been in so many attics, and I see daylight looking up. And I remember the old me when I first started the business, there's something wrong there. And there's not something wrong there.
No.
You know? And I guess the only thing that could get in there, maybe some critters. But those are such thin.
Yeah,
thin.
Small bugs, Mike. Yeah, you're right.
But why would they?
Yeah.
Why would they? 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. We're about to come on to, I guess it's a kind of a new season in the Midwest. It's stink marmaladed stink bug season and box elder season.
That's true.
And we're going to start seeing these soon. And we get a lot of emails about those. And of course, normally what we do is, if you want to totally get rid of those things, you call Rove, R-O-V-E, pest control. They can take care of any pest you have around your house. But they're going to start congregating on the southwest side of your house. And they love to literally sit on that siding and then make their homes right against that, inside that siding. And then periodically through the year, you'll see, everyone does it. I see it. You see one in your house. How did that get in there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And one of the best things we have found that works to keep them off your siding is a mix of water and Dawn soap. Dawn soap. And you can spray the actual bugs with it, but that will also help them obviously come off your siding. But you have to do that between the rains as well to keep them off your siding.
Yeah, it's funny because Dawn soap, I guess, will actually kill insects.
Yeah.
And you read about it, it's kind of scary because they respirate through their shells, I guess. And that soap shuts off that respiration. You know, it'd be the same thing as someone putting a dry cleaning bag over your head, which I think's been done a couple times, hasn't it?
For too long.
Yeah, got to take that bag off your head.
So that's something you can do. Another thing, the way those things, especially the stink bugs, they like to find places to congregate and mate. So if you've got stuff that have covers over it, like a grill with the cover over it, you lift that grill up, you're going to find a lot of those. If you take a downy dryer sheet and put that underneath there, those critters don't like that.
Isn't that funny?
It is funny.
You wonder what it is.
And I've had that because I have a cover for my grill, my beautiful Traeger grill. And I used to pull it off and there'd be those stink bugs. And then once I put a downy sheet in there, they never came around again at all.
So, I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, nothing like practicing that stuff yourself to make sure it actually works.
Right. And we talk a lot about this, Chuck, about when you seal your house up for air, you seal them up from the bugs. If you want to seal them up for the bugs, you'll also seal it up for the air, which is not a bad thing to do around your house.
We're big believers in that.
And one of the places you want to really look is in the corners, like in your basement. Any places that you'll see spider webs build nests, those are areas that most likely need to be need to be sealed.
You know, it's funny because you and I for years have talked about you could get two people on one of the real dark nights we have where you have someone with a good high-powered flashlight on the outside of the floor frame perimeter and someone down in the basement, and it's shocking how much light you'll see through gaps and cracks in that part of the house if you've never sealed it.
Right.
And, of course, the bugs can find every one of those.
Right.
Critters can find every one of those.
Absolutely. Hey, people, stick around for, let's see, who we got coming up next here. Stick around for the next hour of the Inside Outside, guys. We're going to be taking your phone calls at 888-654-GUYS. You name the subject, we're here for you. In the meantime, talk a little bit of garage trivia. And Wall Street Journal survey of 900 homeowners found that only 70% of their garage space allows for parking.
You know what's funny about that, too, is what a huge luxury a garage is. When you think about it, how unique that is to this country, that we actually extend the buildings that are our homes in a similar fashion, you know, the same brick, siding, shingles. I mean, it's costly. It's expensive.
Amen.
Electrical, sometimes heating, sometimes water is run out there. And the intended purpose of that is to have a place to pull your car into when the weather's nasty.
That's what they're for, right?
Yeah.
That's what they're for. 82% of realtor surveys said a disorganized garage has a major first impression of anyone looking at their home.
I believe in that.
I do, too. I think anything. I used to use the phrase wasting a showing. That if you're selling your house, you don't want to waste a showing. Anyone that walks into your house, you want to make sure that it's pristine. And if they walk into a garage that's disorganized, how are they going to think the rest of the house looks behind everything?
Absolutely. And people are not good at seeing past clutter or junk. Or I used to say wallpaper. If you have a really flashy wallpaper in your kitchen, that's all they're going to see, even though you may have a stunning world-class kitchen.
You're right.
But they can't see past the wallpaper, and it doesn't occur to them that, you know, it's a three-hour job to strip that wallpaper off, you know, another 3 hours to paint it or have McFarland Painting paint it.
You're right.
People
you're
right. are funny.
You know, Kearns Brothers, they're famous for roughs, right? But they also could take care of that flashing on your chimney. If they come out and they give you a new roof, they repair your roof, whatever they do for your roof, they'll make sure they properly flash any penetrations in that roof, especially against the chimneys.
Right? Oh, that's a strength of theirs. It's artwork when Kearns Brothers is up on the roof and takes care of those things. Hopefully you'll appreciate that. And this next segment of the Inside Outside Guys is sponsored by Kearns Brothers.
Welcome to the Inside Outside Guys on News Talk 760 WJR. From the roof to the basement, from the street to the back fence, they've got you covered. Here are Chuck Bridenstine and Ken Calverley.
Appreciate you being with us. I want to remind you this next hour, the phone lines are going to be open for you, 888-654-4897. We'd love to hear from you, even if you're just calling from your 1964 Mustang convertible as you cruise down Woodward.
I would like to know what is the most expensive classic car out there. Not one, you know, not the.
That's actually in the cruise or in the world?
I know there's some classic cars that are probably worth million or half million, but out there today, I'd like
probably more than that.
All right, but I don't care if I had $20 million in the bank. If I had a car that was worth $1 million, would you drive it? I mean, would you drive it in rush hour traffic? You know, and Steve, Jim, and Cam had a great point this morning about those cars were prone to overheat. Those cars were not made to be. And we've had some Woodward cruises where it was in the 90s, and they were breaking down everywhere.
Yeah, the stop-and-go traffic is not – yeah, those big engines need a lot of air moving over them.
I have a good friend. I believe it's a 69 Roadrunner. It might be a 70, but – it's over $100,000 car.
Sure.
When he tells me, but I've never seen him drive it. I've never seen him drive it.
Yeah, it's funny because I've always been the guy, and you've heard me say this probably, I wouldn't buy a vehicle that I didn't drive.
Yeah.
You know, that's my whole thing is to have fun driving them, not to look at them, you know. So my answer to your first question is, yeah, I would drive it. If I bought it, if I could afford to buy it, I would drive it.
There you go. Yep.
But... yeah, I've never understood these guys that own 30, 40 cars, and I never be that. And they don't drive any of them. They just have people take care of them and maintain them and start them, you know, a couple times a year and do it. It's like, why? They're fun. Yeah,
I agree with you. I agree. Chuck, do you know as much as one-third of a house's front exterior can be taken up by its garage doors? One-third.
I mean, if you combine that with a front door, the entry door system, because you and I talk about all the time that you could do a simple upgrade to your house just by replacing the garage door and the front door, front entry door.
You're right. And get a good portion of that value back when you sell the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big upgrade you can do to your house to make it look better. Now, are your garage doors that you have at your house are now insulated?
Yes.
Yes, mine are as well.
Both, yeah. Yeah, both places. You know what? I like them because they're heavier.
Same.
And they seem to track better over time than the embossed, stamped, lightweight, you know, non-insulated ones. So for me, I would get it even if it weren't for the fact that they're insulating, you know, and helping keep the garage temperature moderate.
Right. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Taking any and all of your housing questions. There's just a house built next to me, not next, right by me, that has a two-car garage, but no access door, which I thought was really unusual. I thought that was part of the code that a garage, at least, should have. Well, shouldn't it have a second exit or entryway?
No, as long as you can get out of the house.
I would think it would be part of the code. I really would.
The code is funny. We know, you know, the egress requirements for bedrooms.
Right.
But basically the front door, what we call the front door, meets all the code requirements for egress in a house notwithstanding the bedroom requirements.
I just, you know, if you're in your garage door's down, a fire starts, you got to run back in through your house and back out through the front door.
Well, unless there's another back door. But, yeah, I mean, I lived in a lot of houses with my parents that the only second door was into the garage, like you're saying, the attached garage. But that 3 foot, 0 inch by 6 foot, 8 inch, typically front door, doesn't, the code doesn't say it has to be your front door.
Oh,
meets,
I know.
Meets yeah. that egress requirement.
Do you have a access door at your house, a secondary access, just a regular door on your garage?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I can't conceive building a garage without one.
Same. No. Do you ever use it?
All the time.
I don't at all. Mine actually goes to my backyard. Where you open mine at, it goes to my backyard. I never go on that side of the house.
Gotcha.
So I literally have my workbench up against it because I just don't use that door.
So do you keep your garage door open then? Or you just don't go outside
through
the garage?
I don't go outside through the side garage entry door.
Gotcha.
No, if I go through the garage, I go through the main garage door. But I'm ready for a couple new garage doors. So I would say within the next year or so, we're going to buy a couple new garage doors. The ones we have now are original to the house. We had them painted by Rhino Shield years back, which made them look absolutely beautiful and brand new. But it's getting older. It's starting to struggle a little bit more. Actually starting to see a couple cracks in it. But it's time for a new garage door for us.
I would say our primary method of coming and going from the house is through the garage.
Hmm.
Yeah, even if we don't pull in with a car.
And there's a good percentage of people that do that. I get
that.
Yeah,
that is us now that you ask. Yeah,
so. 888-654-4897. Let's talk to Virginia in Toledo. Good morning, Virginia. You're on with the guys.
I have actually a story as well as a problem.
Tell us a story, Virginia.
Okay. I live in a neighborhood that I'm going to say is old. It is not. It's not your typical high. You know where houses are sold for high. Let's put it this way: my house went up because the next door neighbor, and I'll tell you what, he thought he was going to get $100,000 out of his house, and I thought I don't think so because mine was $15,500. The house out of our neighborhood would have cost $100,000. But in our neighborhood would not have cost $100,000. What got me is he got $8,888 for it. My taxes went up $5,000. Now I have a $20,000 house.
Are you in the city of Detroit?
Toledo.
Oh.
I live in Toledo. I live on the east side of Toledo.
Wow. Can you stick around until after this call?
Sure.
Okay. We'll continue our discussion with Virginia from Ohio in just a second.
Hey, coming up after the guys today, we have a good friend of ours that's going to take over the second hour there, that bonus hour between noon and 1.
PWS, along with the guys from Max and Rob from Motor City Floors and Coatings, are going to be at the Pontiac Concourse and actually sponsoring it. It'll be a great show. Make sure you listen to our good friend Paul W. Smith and the boys from Motor City Floors and Coatings after we're done from noon to 1.
Find professional contractors you can trust at InsideOutsideGuys.com. Now, once again, here are Ken Calverley and Chuck Bridenstine.
Not just professional contractors you can find at the InsideOutsideGuys.com, but great advice as well. Whether you're looking for a contractor or you just need some advice during the week, go to the InsideOutsideGuys.com, click on Ask a Question, and we will get back to you, either Chuck or myself, with a answer. 100%. All right, right now we're talking to Virginia in Toledo. Virginia, have you made it your mind? Are you going to sell the house and run away with the cash to Tahiti?
Oh, you're right. I told the last person who called me, I says, I'm going to die in this house, so stop calling me.
Now, you said your taxes went up.
If
you don't mind, none of us knows where you are or anything. What's the value of your house, and what are the taxes on it?
My value in I'm on the Homestead Act. I'm handicapped.
Yep.
But regularly, my value of my house would have let's put it this way. Last time I looked was 400. If it was not on the Homestead Act, it'd be $400.
$400,000?
No, $400.
$400.
No, the value of your home.
The neighborhood. My value of my home is only 50. Well, now it's 20, but it was 15.5.
Okay, so the value went up $5,000.
Right.
So, like I said, if you don't mind us asking, what are your yearly taxes on a $20,000 house?
Mine, okay, with the Homestead Act, it's $88.
Gotcha.
That makes sense. That makes more sense. Okay. So what's the issue?
The issue with mine is not, well, it is a house, but what you get, this is what you get mine when it's a 110-year-old house. I'm trying to tackle those problems one at a time, but now I've got a problem in the backyard. I bought my mom a lilac bush for the backyard, and over the years, the stinkwood tree, whatever, grew up through the middle of it. The lilacs still bloom, but how do I get rid of the stinkwood without killing the lilacs?
First of all, they're not a lilac bush, they're a lilac weed, and I love them.
It's a lilac bush.
But really, they're very hard to kill. They're extremely hardy. They mm-hmm. And again, I love lilacs.
So if you So Chuck, just kill it. I mean, the point is if you have to cut a bunch of branches of the lilac to get to that tree, cut that tree down low, the lilac will survive.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if it didn't. And you could wait till this fall to do it. As you know, the lilac is a very fast-growing bush.
Yes, it is.
So if you cut off the backside, you know, down to give you access to that tree, cut the tree out like Ken said, we would do some things like we talked about earlier where we very carefully put an herbicide on the exposed cut of the stump.
I have the same issue. I have a weed tree that loves to grow right in the middle of our Rosa Sharon. And every year I've got to go. Every year I got to go in there and cut it down, chop up the tree. I don't put any herbicides on it. I just maintain it.
That's okay.
The problem is I've got a broken rotator cuff right now, so I can't. I have my brother or my nephew-in-law come over and help me.
Sure.
But it won't kill the lilac at all.
It should not kill the lilac. Not we're never going to deal in definites, but it should not kill that lilac.
No, if you're careful, no, there's no reason in the world it should in any way, shape, or form. If anything, the lilac may thrive more because a lot of the nutrients the tree was stealing will not be stolen anymore.
Good point.
Okay.
Good point.
Thanks. You know what? The last time my garage was cleaned out is when I went driving through it. I worked as a teacher's assistant. I had a child throw something at me and scratch my cornea. I backed into the garage thinking, I backed into the garage. The last time that garage was cleaned out is when I went through it.
I'm sorry for laughing.
You should be. You should
sorry.
Be. You're terrible. Virginia, thank you so much for the entertaining phone
thank
call.
You.
We appreciate it so much.
God bless you. You stay well.
Thanks.
All right. Real quick, we're going to take Richard 1 second, but Kevin from Pinckney called, and he said he has a problem with his pilot light going out in his water heater, Chuck. A lot of times when that happens, they're either starving for oxygen, so they'll go out much, or sometimes it's actually a wind thing that can put out that pilot light, but usually it's a starving for oxygen.
Yeah. One, if it's in a separate closet / utility room and there isn't enough airflow to keep the pilot light going, like you said, starves. And another one can literally be whatever chimney it exhausts into if you have a wind blowing over that chimney that creates a fast draw, if you will. It can literally suck the pilot light right out of it.
Hopefully that helps, Kevin, if you're listening. And let's talk to Richard in Flint. Good morning, Rich. How can we help you?
Good morning. I'm trying to make this brief. I live in a house built in 1955. And the parts of it that are not paneled in wood are have some kind of a hard wall finish. And where the door in the house, where it always cracks when the weather changes and you have to spackle it, a pretty decent chunk of that fell out. And I'm looking at what the wall's made out of, and it It looks like mortar, but it also has a layer of paper over it. So I'm not 100% sure if this is plaster or some kind of board that was put up back then. It doesn't look like drywall. So here's the I called you about trying to hang a picture. And the issue is this. It's a big piece of art. It weighs 25 pounds. It's 4 by 6 feet. And I thought I would do the scientific thing and get a stud finder and find out where the support was in the wall. So I put this thing in there properly. Well, I got a stud finder, learned how to use it, and I'm getting all kinds of erratic readings with this finish, with this surface that I have in this house. So I'm hoping you can tell me some kind of methodical way I could find out. Now I'm not sure what's in here, if this is just stud construction with some kind of board fastened on it, or if it's plaster or what.
In the old days, only thing Chuck had to do to find a stud was look in the mirror. Now it's a little bit harder. So, Richard, we get back from break, I think we'll be able to help you out, my friend. In the meantime, if you're thinking about a new roof, if you've got an older house like Richard does and it still has maybe that old asbestos siding or the old aluminum siding, it's ready for a facelift, who should they call, Chuck?
They should call Pro Home Improvement.
You have housing questions? The Inside Outside guys on WJR have the answers. Here are Ken and Chuck.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. Hey, I want to remind you, Beauchamp Water Treatment Solutions tells us that if you have a hardness of 16 grains per gallon of water, which is not much, pretty common, the equivalent of that in a year is 250 pounds of rock in your pipes. Ken and I always talk about how the horizontal pipes in your basement or crawl underneath your floor frame just sit there full of water, and the sediments in those pipes, in that water, can settle into the pipes and clog them up over time.
Yep. And as they move, I mean, if those stick to the bottom of those pipes over time, as they move, water moves faster, slower, you pick up those sediments, and in 1 year's time, that house can literally put a 250-pound boulder through your water system.
Well, and the issue, of course, is that you block up the pipes over the course of the year. If you get little pieces of that into a faucet, it could mess up a shower faucet. It could actually, long story short, cause all kinds of problems with your plumbing system.
That's why you want to call Beauchamp Water Treatment Solutions for a free in-home water test today. All right, we're talking with Richard from Flint. Richard, you still there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Chuck, if you could do a brand new house right now, and there are guys out there that could do it in wet plaster, and you had the money to do it, would you rather do drywall or wet plaster?
Wow.
I'm doing wet plaster all day long.
I don't know if I would. I mean, I love wet plaster. We actually did a process called thin coat plaster that I love.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of assumptions. There's a whole range of discussion. But one of the things we always did with drywall was use thicker drywall than most people do.
More dense.
Well, it was also denser at the time. Today they make lightweight product, but we used 5/8 product, 5/8 inch product that was truly denser. It was a lot heavier than a sheet of half inch back then.
And I got to tell you go to one of those sheets now and you have young kids, you're going to dent the heck out of those walls.
Yeah.
So getting to Richard, who sounds like he has the wet plaster, I mean, Chuck, I've hung heavy pictures on just the wet plaster walls, not worried about a stud. Those can hold a lot of weight. To me, I always akin them to laying a driveway vertically because it's almost hard as concrete out there.
I mean, it is hard. What might be confusing your stud finder, you might have is there a metal lath in the piece that fell out or no?
Yeah, all I can tell you is this. In the basement, I talked to you guys about this bathroom down there a long time ago. In the basement, they plastered the ceiling, finished basement, and naturally there were plumbing disasters in the bathroom. The bathrooms are stacked on top of each other in this house. And you can see where they tore the old ceiling out. You can see the edges of the lath, you know, that they had to cut. So it would not surprise me that it's some kind of plaster system, and it's possible that couple that with the thickness of this material, where it's cracked off by the door here, I've got a hole that's a good half an inch deep, and you still can't see anything but more mortar, more material. So my guess is, my amateur guess is that there is some kind of lath in there and a pretty thick structure. And I don't know if you just take a drill to that and make a hole in it, or...
Well, you may have to.
What you do.
But that makes sense, Chuck, that lath/mesh would mess up trying to find that.
Exactly.
So what you may want to do, and hopefully at that house they were 16-inch on center, the wall studs, or what do you think? Try to measure off a corner, and then use the smallest little drill bit you can find. And when you drill, you're looking for the wood. Once you get through the plaster, you're looking for that wood. And if you just have a little bit of caulk with you, once you drill that hole, just fill it full of some white caulk.
Yeah, and what we used to do, we would do that at the top of the baseboards.
There you go.
Because no one's going to see them.
Great.
Okay,
the bottom of the stud will be available to you at the top of the baseboard. And that's a real easy thing.
I thought I'd learned something in the basement, because I have one room that's not finished, but the wall in here is brick, so it's not telling me anything. I can see the ends of the floor joists look like standard lumber, so didn't learn anything about the wall down here.
Well, I can tell you, a wet plaster ceiling. Wow, that must have taken some work, but you're right. This is a matter of time before there's a plumbing leak.
Exactly.
Yeah, this bathroom is, I'm downstairs now, is obviously a room by itself. But the other bathroom upstairs sits on top of the finished ceiling in the nice recreation room part of the house. And I just dread the day when I have a problem here. Because there's going to be nothing to do but tear out finished ceiling here to get to some of the plumbing. So I've got to move before that.
Richard, we appreciate your call, sir. Okay. Hope everything works out for you, okay?
Well, and I want to say, you guys, I called you 3 years ago real quick about my son-in-law down in St. Petersburg. I don't know if you remember talking to me about an outside water heater that was squealing and making all kinds of noise, and they wanted $4,000 or $5,000 to replace it. And one of you gave us the name of a guy in St. Petersburg. He came out and made some adjustments. The thing stopped making noise, and 3 years later, it's still perfect. Charged my son-in-law $75. So it was a very, very worthwhile call to you guys.
We sincerely appreciate that. Send your check to Ken Calverley.
No, we need him. Okay. We need a commercial from this guy. Thank you so much, Richard.
Well,
We're glad we could help your son-in-law.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Stay in touch with us.
Bye.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Yep,
that's really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, thank you.
That is cool. That is a dilemma. It's funny you mentioned that with the thickness of those plaster walls to try to find a stud. It could be darn difficult to do.
Well, I had a good idea with a little small drill, and then you improved on it by going outside of eye range, not the bottom. That's a great idea.
I've had to do that so many times, and the key, obviously, is that you can find the studs, and if you screw up, you can easily repair something that people aren't going to know, you know, exists anyway. So I've always top of the base.
Absolutely. No, I agree with it. I agree. And speaking of basements, our friend at Basements Plus want to make sure you guys know that they are there for you to repair your basement, to get your basement dry, and then if you want to make it a great living space. It's always easier to go down and create more living space than it is to go over or up. So next time you're thinking about increasing your living space, make sure you consider Basements Plus.
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. We'll have to do a show on finished basements. There are so many cool choices.
You're right. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897.
You know, the garage thing, people will email us, you know, how much does a garage cost? And it's such a funny thing because it could cost you $100 a square foot. It can cost you $1,000 or more a square foot. It just depends on so many things.
You're right. It really does.
Finish it with.
Yeah, exactly. No, it does nowadays. And what people are really surprised is nowadays, depending on the size of the garage, the concrete work can cost just as much as the garage being built.
Oh, man. It's amazing how much money you can dump into that. If you're doing brick on the outside, obviously, that adds to the expense. The type of roof, the slope of roof, those things make a big difference. And then do you go inside and are you going to insulate and drywall? Because that adds cost.
Is it attached? Is it?
I mean, essentially, you're building a house without some of the mechanical systems.
You're right.
It comes down to.
Oh, you're right. Right. Is it attached? Is it detached? You know, and there's different codes for whether they're attached or they're a detached garage. So. Any questions you have, 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897.
It's funny you mentioned the cost of the concrete because I'm thinking, you know, with garages today, most jurisdictions, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, are going to require a full footing
right
underneath that.
Well, we did talk about that because, unbelievably to me, Chuck, we are still under the 2015 code, which to me is just government. Tell you about government, okay?
Not unusual, actually.
I know. And there's something wrong that's not unusual. That makes it even worse. But we have the 2015.
So you're for more codes, more restrictive codes?
No.
Get them in place as fast as possible?
That means that we have now, what, 7 years of codes that have been made for whoever wear, and they're not in the books yet.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that. And again, we've been doing that for a long time.
I know we have.
We're supposed to do 3-year cycles. But Michigan, gosh, in my memory, I don't know if we've ever done a 3-year cycle.
See, you know me, you know. I'm not for. There's a lot of things in Michigan I'm not for.
Yeah.
But still,
so what would you have in the code today that wasn't already in there in 15 that you think would
improve?
Well,
the big thing is the foundations. I don't like being able to do a 400-square-foot structure or less than that. I think a foundation is so critically important. I don't think they're done right. If you're going to let someone do a rat wall, then the code should be reinforced with steel, something like that. We'll discuss it more when we get back and break, okay?
Yeah.
And take your phone calls, 888-654. Guys, let's go ahead and make this next segment sponsored by Basements Plus.
Here for you today and every day. This is the Inside Outside Guys on WJR. Here are Chuck and Ken.
With over 80 years of combined housing experience, the Inside Outside Guys need to be your one-place shop for any and all of your housing needs 24/7 at theinsideoutsideguys.com. Okay, Chuck, a non-housing stat. Research has shown that men get bored after just 26 minutes of shopping with their wife or girlfriend. And I think that's too long because I get bored watching my wife shop online.
Do you enjoy – have you ever gone out and shopped for your wife?
Well, I've been married 35 years. You know I have. Of course I have.
Do you enjoy doing it?
If it's at Bass Pro Shop or Cabela's, I do very much.
That new fishing pole she wants.
Yes, exactly. No, I tell you what, years ago, I was married probably 10 years at the time. We were going to a wedding, and I went out and bought my wife a black dress. And she looked great in that black dress. And ever since then, I try to go out periodically and buy her something like that when we have an event coming up, and she really likes it.
So you just got to embrace that when you're in the middle of them shopping.
Now, that being said, every year I give her one day a year in December. And how nice of me, right? Give her a day of my time to go shopping for Christmas. And we'll go wherever she wants to go, and I will follow her around like a puppy dog on a leash. But what I don't usually do is go into every store with her. I'll sit outside and people watch is what I do. So
I don't disagree.
Okay. 888-654-GUYS. We're going to talk to Bob and then Lou. Let's start with Bob in Roscommon. Good morning, Bob. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm thinking about, I have a 1,500 square foot house, a story and a half, and electric baseboard heat. And I'm thinking about, I've been looking at a Carrier Mini Split 18 HVAC to put
in
my main room and see if that would save me some money.
In the long term, it'll save you some money.
It'll be real long. I mean, the truth is, you don't have air conditioning right now. And you could get it.
I don't really need it. Huh?
Okay. You could get it with that mini split. I mean, the benefit of baseboard heat, you probably have multiple thermostats, right?
Yes, I do.
So if you want to save money and shut off two-thirds of the house and just heat a third of it, you can easily do.
I do that now, but it still costs me like, unless I burn a lot of firewood, it costs me close to $200 a month.
Okay.
For my
so here's what you have to do. You have to say to yourself, how much is it going to cost me to install that mini split system?
It's about $200.
Okay. So at $200 a month during the heating season, that's maximum $1,000 a year. We're being generous in that regard. That's 8 years right there to get back to even.
Right.
And the you aren't going to get back to even because you're still going to be heating other parts of the house, and you're still going to spend some money to run that mini split system. So you could be 10 years before you could break even or more.
Yeah. Okay.
So just a thought. We love mini splits.
Pardon?
We love mini splits.
And I understand that I live in Higgins Lake, and some people had one put in years ago, a heat pump, it didn't do, but now I understand that they're much more efficient than
they are.
Oh,
extremely. They're scary efficient. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And yet, you know, again, Bob, it's about comfort. I mean, if that's what it's going to take for you to be comfortable in your home and you're not worried about the investment, do it.
Yeah, well, I don't move like I used to, and I have an insert in my fireplace that does very well, but it's hard for me to get firewood now, and I thought maybe instead of trying to burn wood all winter, this would help.
Well, like I said, the most important...
$1,000 for firewood for the winter because I can't cut myself anymore.
Bob, it's all about you being comfortable. If it costs a little more money for you to be comfortable in your home and you can afford it, it's in your budget, we would recommend you do it. So...
Okay.
Sir, you have a great day. We appreciate your phone call. Let's talk to Scott.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's talk to Lou in Ann Arbor.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob. We're going to talk to Lou in Ann Arbor. Hi, Lou.
Hi, guys.
How can we help you, sir?
Okay. Before you were talking about the insulated garage doors, and both of you have them, can I have insulation added to the two-door garage door that I have without and save money rather than buy a whole new door that's insulated? Can I insulate what I have? And who would do that?
I don't know if we could find anyone to do that actual project. Cause, I mean, the only thing he can do is get rigid foam, correct, Chuck?
Yeah, they're going to glue rigid foam to the panels. Which could be very effective.
And DIY.
No sun exposure, so you don't have to worry about the foam degrading. Maybe one of the handyman services we could have you try. If you got a pen handy, we can give you one.
Yes.
Try Handyman Connections.
Okay.
734
right.
205
right.
9,000. 9,000.
Right.
So, now, Luke, yes, let me tell you, what you're probably looking for because of the thickness of the garage is somewhere around a R10, right? When you say, Chuck, an R10 is going to fit in there?
2 inch. That'd be 2 inches of styrofoam.
Yep. So, and you're just going to call them and tell them you need rigid foam insulation glued to the inside of the door, the garage door.
Right. Now, would that in any way put a burden on either the opener or the springs or the weight of the door, or is it negligible?
Chuck can even pick up one of these.
I'd say it was negligible. Yeah, I can still pick up a sheet of that stuff. Yeah, very little weight.
Yep. So hopefully, Lou, that helps you. If you need anything else, please let us know. Anyone that, Scott, I apologize about the raccoon issue, call Rove, R-O-V-E, pest solutions. They
pest
get
control.
Out pest control. I apologize. Thank you. They can get out there and take care of that raccoon for you. Or Scott, you can call us back tomorrow morning between 10 and noon. Stay tuned for the next hour with Paul W. Smith and Robin Max from Motor City Floors and Coatings right here on AM 760 WJR.